There we go, live. Good evening, Melrosians, the world over. I'm Tom Catalini.
I'm Jen LeClaire.
I'm Sam Hammer.
And I'm Tom Shampoo.
And this is Let's Talk Melrose, Melrose, a show where Melrosians talk to Melrosians about Melrose. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Right, Sam?
I'm trying to pay
attention. I knew it. I knew you weren't paying attention. That was unfair. But
trapped.
Hey,
trapped like a what?
Trapped like a rat.
Foreshadowing. Wow, we're getting sophisticated.
Out of the gate quickly on the good transition.
Okay, can't wait.
We have to welcome back to the media scene. Our good friend Mike Karaji, who was very very. Missed, and thank goodness you are back on the beat because Melrosians were hopefully not getting their news and information from us in the meantime. But I love, did you all notice, so Sam and I saw him at Cafe Nero, and we presented him with a LTMM onesie for the new Karaji Kid, the Karaji Kid 2.
For branding purposes,
yeah. And as a joke, you know, he said he was going to do a thank you to the viewers, as he was coming back. And as a joke, as he was walking out, we said, oh, well, now you have a picture you can post too. And I was surprised that he actually did it, because in the meantime, we sent him the little like self-promotional baby onesie. And in the meantime, he had been telling us about all of the Melrosians who were like bringing food and like useful things. That was his emblem of like what the community gave him, was like our little.
We're gonna brand that baby.
Self-serving onesie.
right. So that's the start. So welcome back, Karaji.
Yes.
Oh, hey, Miner.
Look who it is, Mike Miner. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, we play well in the cyberspace and the social media. You know what I mean. You can't take a picture of a fruitcake and post that. You know what I mean. You got to have a little panache. We want the kid to have a little pizzazz. We're just very happy that he's healthy, and that the family is doing well. And Mike's back on the scene, which is great. He's already putting out some articles, which we mercilessly steal. Yes. To have some information on this show.
That's the crutch that holds the show up, for Pete's sake.
We regurgitate his news.
Yeah. Melrose relies heavily on anyone named Mike. So going back to our dear friend Mike Miner and our partner at MMTV that makes all of this possible, they also have news. They now have... camera systems installed. We saw him at the Dems meeting. They have cameras installed on the fields now, and they're able to cover, I think, pretty much all of the sports coverage in Melrose, and kind of partner that with the TV program that the school offers. So that's super super cool. Again, MMTV is just fantastic. Like kind of Melrose treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. and that's indoor sports and outdoor sports. Yeah. Now, correct. It's Fred Green Field. It's the middle school gym, I think, too.
Balls on the field, go bounce, bounce, bounce. Let's play with the balls together.
Jen, why don't you tell us about all the sports that are played?
Yeah.
How's Melrose doing anyway?
I'm sad to report, actually, that I think the first home game for the football team, they lost, and everyone was shocked, because we're kind of not used to that around here.
Wow.
The football team has been quite a force for the past few years.
Yeah,
they lost their first home game, but that's okay. Guys, there's still time, and so there you go. That's about all I know. But you can divert your attention. If you're sad about the football team, you can divert your attention to the amazing Melrose High School band, because that's always great at halftime to soothe your sadness.
So, Jen, I want to ask, since you have a daughter in high school. Is she attending sports events? Is she socializing that way? Because my kids like to go just to go hang out and.
Yeah, not and yet. Not likely. I don't think that's probably her scene.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I want to go this Saturday. I'm hoping that the weather holds out. There's lots
it's gonna
of
be great.
There's lots of great stuff. Yeah. Okay. We'll start doing the rain dance. But the band. Oh gosh, I'm going to be just as bad about talking about this as I am talking about sports ball. But there's like a regional like band showcase.
It's competition. Yep.
Competition. Yeah. And that's happening on Fred Greenfield as well.
And Melrose is hosting.
Right.
I'm pretty, it starts around, I think it's around 4. I'm going to find the correct information, but yeah. The Melrose High School band goes on around 6:45.
Yeah. And they have guest bands. I think the BU, Go Terriers, they have the BU band is like their guest band. They always bring in a college band or a bigger band. So it's super cool. I went, gosh, probably wasn't last year, it was probably the year before when they did Grease. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
So there's a bunch of high school bands getting together on Fred Greenfield this Saturday, and they're going to.
Yep. It's a competition. Yep.
They do their shows, and somebody emerges as the most awesome. So
right. So for all the people who go out there to support sports, let's go out there and support our band as well. They're really incredible. They work really hard.
It's going to be a music-filled day on Saturday. Yeah. Porch Fest is Saturday. All the performances are 2 to 6, so you still have time to go see the Melrose Band. At Melrose High Band, but there's a lot of music all over town. We're going to talk about that throughout the show. Yes, okay. Jen?
Yeah. Do we know? Yeah, absolutely. Do we know how many? Are we talking about this now? Are we on to? I haven't heard the news.
No, we were just about to transition signal. To the news. So
okay.
We really, it's really appropriate to start talking about the
right,
news
exactly.
Without officially transitioning to the segment.
I checked myself. If you noticed.
Everybody is ready, we'll get there now. I keep forgetting about that.
So I love that we're surprised by that every time.
Jen, what is the news on Porch Fest?
I have no idea. Why are you asking me, Porch Fest?
Because you were just bringing it up before we transition. So I know a little bit about it.
Yeah,
if you go to melroseporchfest.org.
I know it's Saturday.
And there's a melroseporchfest.org is the site. And if you do the /map link or click on the map thing, it'll show you all the points on like a Google map. And there's a rundown of all the bands that are playing at different locations. And they'll even tell you kind of what time and what a little bit about the band. So there's a ton of them. I didn't count them, but there's a lot. And the weather, I think, is going to be fantastic on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. What? I heard. Really?
Says who?
Yeah.
Says me. What happened? It's not.
Okay. We have to.
What do you mean? The little thing that shows sun and clouds.
Okay. Oh. Well, we'll defer
50%
to
chance of rain. It changed.
Yeah,
it changes this morning.
Alexis telling me that there's rain.
51% is a whole different story, as you know.
That's right. We still have a chance. So I guess good to know there is a rain date on Sunday, which right now my weather specialist is telling me it's 73 and partly sunny on Sunday. So this shifted. I think it was this morning, Thursday and Friday rainy, Saturday and Sunday clear. I was like, oh, good. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think Saturday rain will be later. I hope we can squeeze it in Porch Fest. I think it'll be more toward the evening, nighttime.
Well, then that ruins it for the Melrose High Band.
Well, we all know this is New England, so we won't know the real answer to this question until Saturday. When you walk out the front door.
We'll keep an eye on that. Porch Fest definitely has a rain date of Sunday, which looks good. So one way or another, it's going to happen this weekend. I don't know about the Battle of the Bands. But,
it's so fun, Porch Fest. I do know that. And they've also kind of branched out. I mean, they, so for example, you can go see Sam Rossi comedy also. Like there's so much talent in this community. And it's fun. It's a free event. You just get to wander around and hang out with your neighbors and listen to great music and comedy and other stuff like that.
Right. So some people on the show also are going to be, and our fans within the show will be at 100 Cottage. So head down there. Just gonna say it because
that's gonna be an exciting stage to keep an eye on. Also, Down
Allen Place is gonna be really great too.
Yep.
The thing is, it's all over. I just wish I could be everywhere.
I know
it's fun.
Last time they had it, I kind of stayed in a certain radius, but was plenty to listen to, plenty to see. It was great.
So right. two years ago, we brought my then 86-year-old mother-in-law to Porch Fest, and she spent a couple of hours with us getting around town and looking at some of the bands, and she's coming again on Saturday. So she's excited about it as well. This is for everybody to go.
Yeah.
It's for all ages. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
All right. Sam, are you going to cover this first story or we?
Yes. I just wanted to also mention that BLP is doing You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown this weekend as well. So there's that. So that might be our Friday night. Porch Fest will be our Saturday night, maybe with the marching band. We're going to delay a birthday party for another week. Maybe they'll forget. Maybe we'll just make it a big one for the next year.
For 11.
Everybody.
Go to 11.
Yes. I'll really quickly, I'll just put for anybody who still cares about COVID, I'm going to put the dashboard back up. I think it's riveting and I bookmark it.
People care.
They should care.
There's 17 cases now, yep, right?
We just had 4 cases today. We're day zero again. So I went into the school on Monday, walked in, and there was like a gap. I just found this fascinating. There was like a gaggle of parents there, and I asked them what was happening. They had all gotten in trouble. And they were like, we're the COVID crew. Because basically all of their students, there were 5 or 6 of them, their students had been in close contact with somebody who tested positive. So I had no idea what the policy was. I said, well, but, you know, what is this? What do you do? So every morning for 5 days, they go in before school, their students get tested. If they are negative, they go to class. And if they're not, they go home.
Oh, that's the testing day, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
but I had no idea like how this actually happened in real life. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool because I did read about it in the superintendent's memo. There was a test and stay thing that was part of the hubbub when they first started this year, that they weren't quite ready for that. So now they are. That's good.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's how that works. Who knew?
Yeah.
You do.
Now we do. Yeah. You now heard it do. Here.
And then we.
The Melrose Band plays Rain or Shine because they are that badass.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're mostly brass, so they can handle it.
Can't rain on that parade. No pun intended.
Do we want to move over to Wet Rats? Did we talk about
rats? I think we need to move over to rats.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that because you saw the comment from Dugan? Is that what got you on that?
Which one? Oh.
All right. That's not working. Anyway. All right, tell us about the rats.
Oh,
so listen,
rats.
Here's what happens. The other day, I get up, and I'm, you know, I don't remember exactly, but I'm probably doing like a very intense morning workout, something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And I get a text from my brother. He goes, rats in Melrose. I'm like, what? You know, he lives down the Cape. He lives in Sandwich. And I said, what do you mean? Did we were something on the news? And he said, yeah. And I searched it on WBZ News the other day. There was a whole segment, well, not a segment, you know, 90 seconds or whatever. Rats in Melrose, blah, blah, blah. So what I know you are monitoring the situation closely, Sam. What did you find out about that? There was some.
I think she found out the same thing Jen found out about that.
Yeah.
So with 5 minutes before the show started, I rushed to 3-hour city council meeting.
Yeah. Well, what does Karaji say about the rats?
I read the Karaji report.
Well, right. Right. So here's the thing. I don't think he's put out an article yet, right? So
this is breaking.
This is breaking news. And I think, you're on top. But it's much harder to do this when he hasn't written the article. We can just read from
that. So here's what we do know. I mean, we do know that 2 of our city councilors several years ago, there's always a time warp. I'm losing track of time. Was it 2019? I don't know. Had tried to pass something that was like a, you know, trash control, keep lids on your trash and that sort of stuff. It didn't pass. And there's some quote in there, something about like, you know, wealthy homeowners should not be required to put lids on their trash cans or something like this.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, that's there somewhere. But it has come around again. Sean McMaster and was it Gen G?
Yep.
put it forward again. Previously, it had been Zwirko and McMaster, so it was put forward again and passed this time. I mean, I think the city, I think there was a kind of some more discussion. There was, like, you know, photographs. I think when people were seeing it on Facebook and on the community pages, and I guess it got, you know, more attention this time that that people wanted to try to do something about
it. So what happens? I have to put my trash in a can and cover it, or I can get fined. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So this is stuff out there. That's true.
True.
But this is where the technology was perfected many years ago. This is exactly the kind of trash can I have. The old school metal trash can. You put the lid on it, because we had trouble with squirrels and raccoons, and they chew right through your thin little plastic protection.
If I could tattletale,
do they really?
For a moment.
Ooh, see, this is what happens when we all live near each other.
I did hear somebody who lives in your house say that when the trash barrels go out, they prefer not to lid them, because the lids get tossed. And you do have the
and wake you mushed. Up. Yeah.
Well, and they get run over.
The guys are busy. So in the past, it hasn't been, sort of full attention to gently placing the lids, you know, off to the side when they're trying to heave all this waste into the back of the truck. So yes, that has been the protocol, but we have the lids.
You do have the lids. And we've got symbols at times.
Yes.
So I live near the Fells, and it's always been like the unspoken neighborhood cultural rule that you keep your trash and stuff kind of under wraps, because if you and preferably put it out in the morning, don't leave it out overnight, because you could, you know, there are times, especially over the summer, you come out the next day on trash day and, like, it's a disaster because the critters have had a party overnight. So it just seems like sort of common sense mitigation strategies. I also don't know that it's really, like, going to be enough. I mean, if there's right. really a problem, I don't know what the problem is. I've never seen it. I feel for people who are seeing this and reporting it. And I've never seen anything. We've never had a problem, thank God. But
yeah, same here.
So it's hard for me.
Matter of fact, we used to have pet rats in the house. You can get them little miniature ones as pets, and they're cute as heck and smart as a whip.
Maybe that's the solution. We need to have like an adopt-a-rat program in Melrose.
Jen, why don't you post that idea on the community page, and we'll workshop it a little bit.
We'll monitor that and see how that goes down.
All right, let's move along. We're running out of time.
This is
somehow we're going to run over, but we've got a great guest tonight. We have to get to Sam. What's on the news? Let's just bring her on and go through the rest of the news.
Yes, I mean,
this is crazy.
All right.
This is all off the rails. Somebody hit the button. Let's get some music.
Let's get some music going here.
Yay!
Hey.
Yes.
Hi, Angela. Thank you so much for coming on. Big fan of the show.
I am a big fan of the show.
Your name's come up quite a few times in the past. I don't know if you've heard. We talk about you every once in a while.
Oh, you know, I think I have heard it a couple of times. And I get excited. I feel famous.
Thank you for being on the show. What is your favorite mode? Do you watch on Twitter? Do you watch on YouTube? Do you watch on MMTV? Do you watch on Facebook? Do you download the podcast the next day?
Because it pops right up. I watch it.
Okay, we are so self-serving and ridiculous, you guys. Please welcome. This is Manjula Karamchetty. I'm probably mispronouncing your name, but I think at this point that's the least of our worries. She is running for Ward 1 city councilor seat, unopposed, like everyone else. Is a long time. Serving member of the community in other ways, particularly with diversity, equity, access, and inclusion. So thank you for being here. Welcome to the show. Let's talk about some of the great work that you do here in Melrose.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Again, thank you for having me.
See, that's the difference between a Gen show and a non-Gen show. So, you know, it's all orderly and professional, like happening.
Courteous. Very good. You know,
courteous.
She cares about people. Like, all that shines through, right?
So well, let's just ask Manjula directly. What's your favorite part of the show?
I have so many favorite parts. I don't know who made up the opening, but I find it very catchy. And I do like seeing all the past guests and you sort of dancing through that. I do kind of think it's awesome for like catching up on the news. If I haven't been able to watch City Council, if I haven't been like super certain of all the things going on, I'm guaranteed to learn things from listening to you. And but I think my favorite part is just your interactions with each other.
Well, if you lived closer, you could have it every day.
You could have it. Yeah, you're very far away. For anyone who doesn't know, where is Ward 1? Where are you?
So Ward 1 is sort of the area by Franklin Street in between Stoneham, going to Main Street, and then the like back way towards Wakefield.
Okay, so up there in the hills.
Up the hill, yeah. Yeah. Up in the Highlands area.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Some of you know it as the Highlands.
Yeah.
Right. So I have had the pleasure of spent time with you at when you're facilitating amazing community conversations. I think we had one at the temple that was packed, and you were an outstanding facilitator and obviously very well versed on the topic, and it just made everyone feel very comfortable and open. So you've done a lot of work around inclusion specifically in Melrose and what this community was like. But I think you also do this for your day job as well, and you do a lot of work in education. Can you talk a little bit about how that kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, to go way back, I'm a licensed school counselor, middle school and high school. So that's kind of how I started my professional journey. My first counseling gig was at Framingham High School, and I was a counselor there with a caseload of about 400 students. And I also ran the College and Career Center. And, you know, gosh, that was in 2002 when I started. And so a lot of that work was about like college access and making sure that all students had what they needed to like move forward with their goals. And I kind of became a school counselor. My parents are immigrants. They came to this country from India, and the Indian educational system is very different than that of the United States. And I think my parents expected that school would take care of everything. But there's a lot of information that caregivers need in order to support their kids and like helping them go into higher education. So long story short, we didn't have a lot of that information when I was growing up. So kind of just did what my friends were doing and kind of figured it out. So I just really was interested in how to support students who don't have a lot of resources outside of the school system. So that was kind of the beginning.
Can I interrupt you right there and ask, what were the key things that those students needed to be successful? You know, what were sort of the common themes or turning points?
Yeah, so a lot of it was information and having a way to get that information in digestible, less complex ways. And then providing opportunities for parents and caregivers to also get that information. So a lot of what I was interested in with that work was, how do we embed this in the school day? How does it become a part of the experience? So we were designing a lot of, like, at the time we called them guidance lessons, but we'd partner with teachers and go into classrooms to make sure that students had that information. You know, I would host FAFSA completion workshops on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We'd open up the school, have families get coached. We'd create partnerships with colleges and universities just so parents had support with how to do that stuff. So it was really always about removing boundaries, removing barriers. So everybody was sort of more on a level playing field, and it didn't matter like who you know or how much money you had, or if you had a child go through this process, or if you went to college in the United States, like those things wouldn't prevent you as a student from pursuing higher ed or a career, whatever your interest was.
Right. I love that it's embedded and it's not like, because it's almost like could become a thing where people hire a consultant to apply to school for your kids, or, you know, it's just like it should be part of the program.
Yeah, that just the access to the information and the that sort of path forward. If there are two things that we talk about all the time on this show, it's communications and beer gardens.
Yeah,
pretty much every week.
We're trying to get that.
And that's a Venn diagram that overlaps heavily in my world.
Right.
So, and that was just sort of Framingham, but anyway, I was the director of guidance, testing, and academic support for the Malden Public Schools. And through that, again, did a lot of dropout prevention and mental health awareness work, making sure that kids had access, that caregivers were supported. I would go to like the local churches and do my college presentations, just like really trying to think of like, ways to connect people and connect others to each other. And, you know, that sort of led to really like the diversity, equity, and inclusion work that came later. So,
how do you feel that experience in the past transitions to a place now that you live in Melrose, or that you're living in Melrose? What's the transition to a city like Melrose? What are the differences? What are the similarities that you're seeing?
Well, so I guess the other thing that I would say is I was also the director of counseling in Lexington for a while. So I have these like many different types of communities that I've worked in, but a lot of the issues are the same in terms of just like you're talking about communication, outreach, trusting relationships, making sure people are connected. And just how do you move forward with that? And a lot of that comes from listening and learning and kind of reflecting on your own experience and your own biases and how do you move beyond those? So it kind of all ties together.
And I think all of that work, you've had quite an impact on our community and Melrose specifically, being an advocate on the outside doing that work, which I'm extremely grateful for. And every once in a while we banter here about, or even on the streets, about, you know, the influence and the impact that you have as an advocate trying to push change inside of the system, inside the bureaucracy. But now you are hopefully going to just get that seat at the table and be a part of that system and that bureaucracy. So what sorts of things, when you were thinking or deciding to run, do you want to kind of explore or push forward from the inside?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I've even had to do like a lot of I had to do like a lot of soul searching, right? Because I am more of a grassroots organizer and an advocate. And, you know, the leadership positions that I've had have been in schools. And generally, I've been the only person of color at the table in those school districts that I've worked in. And have really been able to make changes through building coalitions. So that's sort of what I know how to do. But I figured in my work, a lot of the coalition building was around bringing schools, city government, and communities together. So why not try to do it from the city side as opposed to trying to do it from the community and the school side?
Right. And when we were, before the show started, we were all talking about last night's city council meeting and that.
I was going to say, like, why not? Committee. Because it's goddamn tedious. That's why.
Right. Like, have you on the other, and you know, to have you on the other side, like you could have, you know, you could have gotten involved in the school site council or run for school committee, because to have someone with your experience on, you know, really on the inside and working in partnership with school committee and all those others is, I think, going to be really helpful and interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and to be like totally honest with you, I don't know that I would have considered city council, but I had a group of people encouraging me to try and to consider it. So when a strong group of people that you admire actually say to you, you know, why don't you consider this? That was meaningful.
It could be a setup. Who are these people and what do they want?
But I don't know. I'm a big believer in like lifting others up. And in this case, I feel like I was lifted up.
Awesome.
That's great.
That's amazing. Cool. Well, hopefully the 3-hour meetings with trash and rats and sewers won't put you down. Because I think there's so much time, rightfully so, spent on the business of city mechanics.
Yeah.
That it's wonderful to have city councilors who are, again, those advocates who have been doing the work on the outside, who sit at the table and can really kind of push things forward. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Jamal Adine fan. And even last night, we were talking about the early voting and how we're going to get the message out to folks. And she so eloquently always points out the things that I feel like her crystal blue eyes can see better than everyone else. And I even if it is something around trash and rats and sewers and voting and elections, having your perspective and your voice at the table is going to bring a paradigm that will add to that, I guess. So thank you for running.
Thank you for doing. I mean, I do think it's a tough gig. Right. You're working your day job. You come home mowing the lawn. You're probably doing an early morning intense workout like I am, something like that. And then you've got to go
boot camp all the way.
And then I wonder why I haven't seen you.
You haven't gone. That's so weird.
Oh, because I haven't gone.
That's you were absent that day.
You know, I've never seen you at Melrose boot camp. But then to try and contribute to the community and take all that you are and all that you're able to do is really quite generous, because it's like a volunteer gig and it really is tedious to participate. It's tedious to watch. It's difficult. And, you know, that's where I wonder if at some point when I saw that, you know, there's not really more people running than there are seats, like, should we reconsider? Should this be a smaller body in the future? Should they be paid positions to maybe include more people in it or something? I don't know, but thank you for doing it, because I think it's not that easy, and it's like a 2-year commitment, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Is there anything kind of new in it, or anything, any agenda that you may have coming into this that you want to share?
Well, I wouldn't say that I have an agenda, but there are certainly things that I care about. And things that the residents of Ward 1 really care about. And so I guess I would say, even though I'm uncontested between now and the election, I'm really excited to hit the streets, so to speak, in Ward 1 in particular, and just get to know the residents, really listen and learn to what their concerns are, what's on their minds. So things, for instance, like Franklin Street. Speeding on Franklin Street, making sure that it's safe for kids and families, the elderly, everyone to be able to cross that street, you know, whether you're going down the hill from Stoneham or you're going up past the Franklin School and then going past La Cuchera, like, people are speeding. Aren't paying attention. They're driving distractedly. So, you know, that's definitely something that's on the minds of the residents of Ward 1, definitely on my mind.
That's a citywide issue.
Yeah.
I go to all the wards.
I have business
in all the wards of the Commonwealth.
Well, like you say, business in all the wards, that you know, Franklin Street is also like another, you know, we focus a lot on downtown, but Franklin Street has its own kind of, you know, business district up there, creative and business district up there, and too.
We would go for Cub Scout meetings, dances, across from the church, and you park in the lot, and it's like, I got to get 15 feet, and I don't know if we're going to make it, the whole family, across the street. It really is.
Go ahead,
Mantra. Oh, I was just going to say something that is exciting, like DPW has been putting in crosswalks on the corner of Franklin and Batolph Street today. We got a blinking light, so we're super excited about that.
What does that mean? Do you have to slow down on Franklin or on Batolph?
So
if you're
either going down Franklin or up Franklin towards Stoneham, there is now like one of those push button lights.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Across the street.
Yeah.
Because we had a we got a crosswalk in, I guess it was last year. However, cars don't really like to stop, even if you're waiting there. So now we have an extra layer of protection.
So we have some of those on West Wyoming that were put in, and I think they're a nice upgrade, but I don't know what the future of humanity is when we have to just have more and more, you know, bold alerts.
Yeah. Have you seen those things? Optical illusion crosswalks?
I don't like those. That's dangerous. That's more dangerous than anything. Because you think that there's something to avoid or whatever, and then you realize it's not there. And then one day there really is going to be a ditch there or something, and you'll drive right into it.
Okay. We might have to bring Niall in for this conversation. But most importantly, Manjula, where do the residents of Ward have you? I hope that in your door knocking, you're going to ask the question and figure out where do the residents of Ward 1 want to put the beer garden?
That is a great question. Where will they want to put the beer garden?
Okay.
Let us know.
That's like one of those Casella poll questions that presumes, you know, it's like a leading question, you know, it presumes that there is going to be a beer garden. Did you see, by the way, he is watching and he sent us a nice, lovely message.
Where do you fall on candy corn versus circus peanuts? That was the poll of the day.
That's the poll.
Yeah. All of them, please.
So much. Candy corn. I miss Steve so much.
Candy corn.
Candy corn. Yeah.
Well, weirdly enough, you have to distinguish between traditional candy corn and the pumpkin ones. It's a totally different experience.
No, traditional. You're right.
Yeah, but
Mike Miner says he has thoughts. Yeah. What are those thoughts?
I don't know. Type them in, Mike. Call the number 781. We used to have a phone.
We used to have a phone that we didn't know how to answer.
Oh my God.
Call MFTV. I'm not sure if anyone will answer.
Is there anything we didn't ask that, because this is super exciting that we have you on. Is there anything that we didn't ask that you want others to know?
Well, what would your vote have been last night? If you were a city councilor, what would your vote have been on the trash can lid situation?
Well, I'm definitely for things that reduce the rat problem. People are really struggling. So, it's more raccoons and rabbits and foxes.
Oh my God, we have a coyote issue over here.
Yeah,
fox problem.
But I would definitely be voting for measures that reduce that issue for the residents.
Nice.
So you're opposed to rats. Okay, that's the headline.
Especially, I'm in favor of rats. Of the rat in that person's grill.
That was really weird. Eating through cars. It was not good.
Not cool.
Well, thank you for doing this.
The only thing I would say, if you're interested in learning more about the Manjula for Melrose campaign, manjulaformelrose.com. You Google that. Facebook will come up. The Instagram. The website. I think the only thing I would say is I love Melrose and I hope to have the opportunity to serve. I want to be a responsive listener and a proactive advocate for the residents of Melrose, but also for the community. So
awesome. That's
fantastic.
Well, if you won over the Tabs, you're definitely in.
Yeah. So. I think your chances look good. And and we're lucky to have you.
I'm not even gonna, my husband pointed out, not if there's a strong write-in campaign.
That would be a stretch, I think.
I think so too. We are lucky to have you both here on the show and in Melrose. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
One final request before you can go off and do the campaign. We have a dance off at the end of the show now.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around, dance off the show with us.
The voters are watching your moves.
Yeah.
The voters are watching your moves. So.
That's terrible.
Your campaign rests on this moment.
I hope
all
not.
Right. Ward 1 and all the wards will see you around town.